Outdoor Journal Radio Hour. Reporting on the outdoors, asking the hard questions.
Okay, obviously you've eaten beaver, so what does it taste like?
Boy, you had to work hard along on that one, didn't you?
I knew
you
exactly.
You had to dig that one.
I knew where it was. I'm like, oh, wait, I have to play this one.
Welcome back to the program, Outdoor Journal, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I'm Angelo Viola, and our artistic genius behind the glass who dug out that old bumper from, I'm thinking, back in the 80s, is Stephen Labadie.
Well, Outdoor Journal Radio Hour.
So yeah, exactly. Well, so exactly.
That was a long time ago.
Derek Brandeo, Maria Samband at the controls, as per usual, keeping us off the rocks. This gentleman on the line with us could have used their assistance in keeping him off the rocks and other dangerous obstacles as he crossed the North Atlantic by himself, rowing an 18-foot boat, which, by the way, capsized several times during his adventure. His GPS, we talked about electronics earlier on, his GPS got waterlogged with salt water and stopped functioning. And lo and behold, 38 days later, he's set a new world record. His name is Bryce Carlson, and he's online with us now from Cincinnati. Bryce, how do you deal with losing your GPS?
Well, thankfully, I had a backup. I had I had an external GPS. I had another GPS that was internal to the navigation system. Both of those went out, more or less, by about three-quarters of the way through the trip. The one internal to the navigation system kind of went on and off for the last week or so, but I also had a handheld GPS. I also had a watch that was capable of giving me my GPS coordinates. Okay. And I had another one or two devices that could, at a minimum, give me my GPS coordinate. So it slowed things down a little bit not to have kind of my the data, my course, my heading, my speed, all that kind of GPS integrated information at a moment's notice. But I was never truly worried that I wouldn't be able to get my GPS fixed because I had several backups.
Never thought that you actually were in trouble when that happened, obviously. All right. How do you prepare? And I know you prepared, it says here, for, I think, 2 years for this trip. How do you prepare for your boat capsizing in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean in 30-foot swells? Like, you got to get that straight for me.
Yeah.
How do you do that?
I think there's a faith that the boat will right itself. The boat was built to flip itself back up when it goes over. And I had read enough accounts of others who had done these kinds of adventures before. And, I went into this knowing that capsizing was a likely possibility, that to my knowledge, no ocean rower has ever gone out on the North Atlantic and not capsized at least once.
Okay, so it's part of the deal.
I prepared myself mentally for that to happen.
So you went 3,200 kilometers. And you did it manually. There was no assistance from any sort of motorized device at all, right? You rode for 38 days straight.
That's right. No motor, no sail, just the oars.
Okay. We'll get to the physical part in a moment here. How do you deal with that mentally?
I think it's very similar to the skills one might employ in running a marathon, for example, or a long distance backpacking trip for that matter. And that is, you set out to accomplish a goal that maybe it's run or walk 26.2 miles or 42 kilometers. And once you set out on the goal, you just focus on the 5 minutes in front of your face. And you just take it 5 minutes at a time, and you focus on the variables you can control and try to remain patient with the variables you can't control. And I think, I'm thankful that I've accumulated about a decade of experience in ultra endurance events, mostly running, that have helped me develop some of those skills of focus and mindfulness.
But that's different though. You're running, you can get rescued if you broke your leg, you're in the middle, you're somewhere, but you're in the middle of the ocean. You can get rescued, but that's going to probably take a couple of days to get to you.
Crazy.
Yeah, well, that's
crazy.
Right. But also knowing that if I did injure myself, I did have some contingency plans. I could push a button and call for help. And it might take 3 days. You're right. But then it becomes another feat of endurance, right? Just the waiting for help to arrive. And, you know, there are so many possible things that could go wrong and happen. You know, I had a loose plan for just about all of them. But, you know, it's really hard to put together in your mind a very specific, detailed plan for every possible eventuality. There's a lot of just thinking quickly on your feet out there.
Oh, my God. I can only imagine. Did you have trouble sleeping? Because obviously you need rest. 38 days, you got to have some rest, right?
Yeah, I tried to get, you know, let's say around 10 hours of sleep a night, but it was very, very often compromised. You know, I don't know that I slept through the night more than once or twice the whole trip. You know, very often I was waking up every 1 or 2 hours to check my course, make sure I wasn't drifting off of the line I was trying to follow, or just waking up because my shoulders or back were just too achy.
But you're not motorized, so how do you stay on course when you're sleeping? If you're not rowing, how do you stay on course?
Right. So there's always some amount of wind blowing out there, and the wind, you know, will push anything that's floating on top of the water. And so I could fix my rudder in such a way that wind that's blowing could at least roughly push me in the direction I wanted to be going. So some days that might be it's pushing me a little further north than I want to be going, but it's also pushing me east. Or some days it's also pushing me further south than I want to be going, but it's also pushing me east. So relatively in the direction I want to be going. So if the wind was doing that, giving me some assistance, I would let it go. If the wind was blowing against me, then I would try to throw out an anchor of sorts to create more drag between my boat and the water to slow down that drift.
Wow. How many hours a day are you at the oars?
Roughly 12. I set up a 12-hour work, a 12-hour rest schedule. Now, and within that 12 hours of work, you know, there's also some breaks to grab a drink of water, to make some food, to have some lunch. I had to manually pump my desalinator in order to get fresh water every day. That was 1 or 2 hours of manually pumping this device to get fresh water. So that was also embedded in that 12 hours of quote-unquote work. So I wasn't exactly, you know, rowing for 12 hours straight. There were lots of little breaks mixed in.
How about wildlife? Did you encounter any, like, I'm thinking like whales and stuff, or what'd you see out there?
Yeah, I mean, that was my expectation going in, is that I was going to be frequented by, you know, curious whales and playful dolphins. And the reality was I got actually very little face time with the cetaceans, and I got a lot more face time with seabirds. I mean, I don't think a day went by I didn't see seabirds. Even out in the middle of the North Atlantic, there were loads and loads of seabirds. Yeah, and some of them were really fun, like some of the Arctic terns, which are really our planet's endurance superstars. They were super playful, and they would often come by and hover just over the top of my boat, give me a good look over, chirp at me a little bit, hang around for a little while, and then take off. So they were really fun.
I'll bet you that was almost a welcoming when you'd see them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, I liked to think that one, you know, there were a number of days where I saw one Arctic tern, and he'd come back around, he or she would come back around about the same time each day. And I liked to think to myself that it was the same bird.
Yeah.
You know, and I named the bird Terry, and we'd have some very short little conversations, you know, like, how was the fishing? And but, you know, who knows whether it was the same bird. You know, it could have been lots of different ones.
What was the a highlight and the lowest point? What was the high and what was the low?
I think one of the highlights for me, you know, I've been fascinated with the aquatic environment since I was a kid, and been reading, you know, lots and lots of books. And one of the things I'd only read about was that these bioluminescent plankton. And relatively early in the trip, you know, I climb out of my cabin after the sunset, and I just see the water, wherever it was agitated, was completely filled up with these what looked like little fireflies under the water.
Wow.
You know, just these little explosions of light. It was just so beautiful, and I'd only ever read about that. But so to see that in real life was just absolutely amazing. And one of the lowest points was had to have been early on in the trip when the first time my boat capsized. I had an air vent that I had accidentally left open, The cabin is usually watertight, airtight, but because I had left this air vent open, when the boat capsized, water started pouring in to the cabin.
Oh, man.
So now the boat's upside down. There's tons of water inside the cabin. I see water now pouring out from behind the electrical panel. You know, and in my mind, just like a thousand things are going on, right? Like, one, how am I going to get all this water out? Two, what happens if all the electronics get fried? You know, three, did I just end my row, you know, 3 days into this thing? You know, I'm kind of kicking myself. I mean, so that was a pretty terrifying moment there.
Well, I got to tell you, first of all, congratulations. I mean, you are the man, and I don't mean that to I'll rephrase that, the person on the planet right now to hold the new record for crossing the North Atlantic. 38 days. Nobody else can lay claim to that as of now. Are you anticipating holding it for a while?
I don't know. I mean, I firmly believe records are meant to be broken. You know, I'm very happy and proud to have set a new standard, to have set a new bar, and I'll be the first to help and congratulate the next person to lower that bar.
Well, good for you, man. Congratulations. I can't even imagine the experience. Well done. For folks wanting to get more info on you and follow you, BryceRose.com. That's BryceRose.com. We'll have that up on our site as well. Hey, Bryce, thanks for joining us this morning, my friend.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Bryce Carlson, new record holder for the North Atlantic crossing.
Whoa.
Newfoundland to England, 38 days.